Before there was Sunday, there was death on Friday, and there was silence on Saturday. And it might have been the worst 48 hours of their life, waiting and wondering what is next. You see, their teacher, their rabbi, had been killed. He had been crucified on a cross. It was the one they had followed for 3 years, the one who taught them about life, the one who showed them life, the one who was giving them purpose and meaning, the one that they gave up everything for, the one they gave up their livelihood for, the one they gave up their family for, the one they gave up their everyday routine for, is now dead. They were on the walk of shame back to Galilee, their hometown, wondering what would now be their purpose in life, wondering where they would find satisfaction and significance in life, because now their teacher, their rabbi, he was dead in the grave, and they were wondering what is next. What would their life be like? Where would purpose be found? And maybe you find yourself in a very similar step in life, wondering where really is purpose found? Where really is life and significance found in the everyday hustle of life? When you wake up and brush your teeth, go to work, go through the routine of life, where is satisfaction in life really found? As the famous poet Mick Jagger said, "I can't get no satisfaction." Seeking satisfaction in all these different places in life. We all do it. We're all looking for that significant purpose, driving aspect that will give us meaning in life. Some of us seek it in our job. Some of us seek it after looking after money. Some of us do it by our social media status. How many likes do I have? How many of this do I like? Some of you who are gamers, you're looking, maybe I can be a streamer in life and get significance as I'm a gamer. And if you don't know what that means, ask your kids or your grandkids. We're all looking for significance and value in life. Maybe you're seeking a spouse. Maybe you're seeking a boyfriend or a girlfriend. If I just get that, if I just have that, I'll have purpose, meaning, and significance to my life. But we all fall short in many ways. It's like grasping sand. It goes through our hands. We wonder, where is this purpose? Where is this meaning in life? And what does this Sunday, this Easter Sunday, this whole thing about Jesus have to do with anything in my life? And if you're with us this morning and you're seeking to wonder who Jesus is, or if you say you're non-religious, we are so glad you're here. Maybe if you came this morning because your spouse drugged you, and you, not drugged you, but maybe they drugged you to and then drug you here. If you're here, it doesn't matter why you're here. For some reason, you're here this morning. If you're going through the religious duty of Easter and Christmas, we're so glad you're here. Or if you've been here for many years of part of Trinity Family, we are so glad you're here. Because this morning, Jesus walked this earth, a life and a death and a resurrection. And he said, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest, that you might have the abundant life, the life that you were designed to live. But what does Easter have to do with that? What is this Sunday all about? You see, those disciples were despondent. They were hopeless. They were walking the walk of shame. You see, they had put all their eggs in one basket, pun intended, on Easter, of this guy, Jesus. And now it was all over. But what happened that Easter morning? So come, let's hear the story afresh this morning. The gospel writer Mark says this: "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, had brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. The very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And they looked up and saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large. The entry of the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robes, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where he laid, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as you were told. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonished seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were afraid. They were astonished. Someone who was dead has now risen. I would be astonished and afraid. In my 44 years of life, I've never seen a physical person rise from the dead. But what I have seen is I've seen marriages transformed. I've seen lives transformed from death to life. I've seen lives transformed from hopelessness and despondency and despair to a life of hope, joy, and restoration. And it is because of this story of the resurrection of Jesus that those stories continue on in the life of the church and around the world from this moment on. The resurrection has significant impact on these people's lives and on the lives of every one of us maybe in this room. You see, from then on, it was a moment in time that transformed everything. We all have those moments, that moment that transformed our life, whether good moments or bad moments, that moment that changed your life. Whether it was the birth of your first child, maybe it was the wedding day that you had or the wedding day that you did not have. And most of us have that moment. And many of us are marked by that moment of tragedy or trauma, the diagnosis, the death. That moment in time changed everything. There's moments in time that we all have in common that mark who we are. One word, Columbine. Four numbers, 9/11. From that moment on, it transformed all of our lives in many ways. And this moment of Easter, when they saw that Jesus had been raised from the dead, it was that moment that transformed history of the world. It was that moment where people of hopelessness began to have hope. It was those who had no foundation that was sand now began to have a solid foundation for their life of purpose and meaning on Jesus Christ. It was that moment that transcend their life. Those guys were walking, heads hung, back to Galilee, wondering what their purpose and what their meaning was. What would they do now? Could they go back to fishing? Maybe they forgot how to fish. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus taught us how to build wooden cabinets. Maybe we can go do that. Jesus said, I was going to make you fishers of men, but what now are we going to do? And Jesus had risen, and he spoke to them and transformed their lives. And from that moment on, their lives were transformed. They were given purpose and meaning. And one of the people later on who met Jesus, this guy named Paul. This guy, Paul, hated Christians. He actually killed Christians. He persecuted them. He put them in prison. He was an antagonist to the movement of Jesus for most of his life. And one day, that moment, he met Jesus and his life was transformed. And later on, he would write something. He would write to this church at Corinth and he would write this: for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. He says, what I received, what I had in that moment, I pass on to you of first importance. What would you say is of first importance to your faith? What would you say is of first importance to your life? Is it your career? Is it your status? Is it to do this? No. Paul would say this is of first importance. And some of us might think, maybe this is of first importance for religious, that we would be good people. No. What would Paul say? What would he say? Just be good moral people and just be nice in the world. No, he wouldn't say that. What is of first importance? What is the ballast to life? What is the hub of the wheel of life? He says this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that it was planned and it was promised that this Jesus would die for our sins. It wasn't an accident, but it's of first importance. But not only is that part of the story, that Jesus died the death we deserve, but it says this, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is of first importance, that Jesus died for our sins. He died the death we deserve because of our rebellion, and he was raised to life to give us the life that we don't deserve. He says of first importance is of grace and of mercy to the story of you. And that story transforms lives. But if this isn't true, if this story of Jesus being raised from the dead, what we're doing here is stupid. This is ridiculous. Easter is insane if the resurrection isn't true. Paul said this, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and we are guilty in our sins. You see, it's not about the death, it's also about the resurrection of Jesus. And if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, this is really ridiculous what we do in this room right now. Our faith is useless and we're still guilty before a righteous God and stand condemned if he didn't conquer the grave. But Jesus said this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. He says, you will really live now. He's not saying that you will live eternally like once this physically body dies. He says you'll have life now, but also even if you die. He says, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Then he says this. Listen, do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you've had that moment that you did believe, it was that moment in time that it transformed your life. You went from death to life. You went from hopelessness to hope. You went from seeking satisfaction and all the significant things around you in this world to find satisfaction in Jesus, your Savior. But if you've not made that decision, do you believe this? Do you put like your whole trust in that? Does your whole life revolve around that? Is he the ballast of your life? Is the hub of the wheel of your life? Jesus is the resurrection. And the big idea for us this morning on this Easter morning is this. Jesus was raised to life powerfully. I don't know how else to say it, because if somebody rose from the dead, it's powerful, right? Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. It was powerful. It was significant. It was shock and awe in the best way that Jesus rose from the dead powerfully. But because of that, Jesus was raised to life powerfully to gift you a new life with a powerful purpose. You see, Jesus' death offers a gift of life, a life of purpose and of meaning that has a powerful, significant purpose. If you were to take a survey, what would be the powerful purpose of your life? What would be the ballast to your life? What was the driving force of your life? You can fill in the blank. We all have it, whether both conscious or unconscious, of something that drives our purpose in life. Not all of them are bad. Some of them are good, but they can fall short of the ultimate purpose in life. So let's look at this for just a moment. What is this new life? If this is the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, if this is the story that he offers life because of his resurrection, a life that you were designed to live, what does that life look like? We get to start a new life. It's transformed. Paul, this writer, says in Colossians, he says, since you have been raised to new life in Christ, if you've put your trust in Christ, you have a new life. If you study the story of these disciples who were heads down, walk of shame, back to Galilee, Jesus appeared to them. Their lives were transformed by the resurrection of their Savior, their rabbi, their teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that moment on, they had a new life. Their life was propelled to significance, to be ambassadors for him in the world around them. It was a new life. It was absolutely transformed. How many of you are golfers and understand a mulligan? Or a do-over. We all want a do-over in life. We have situations and circumstances that we say, I wish I could have a mulligan. I wish I could do it over. I wish I could have a second chance. And the reality, what Jesus offers all of humanity in the inclusive message of himself is a new life. You could say a mulligan life. You could say a do-over life. By his grace and his mercy, he offers the gift of a new life back, resurrected and redeemed in a relationship with him and all of other humanity. Amen. It is a start of a new life. Peter says this, it is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. It is a new life in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. You know what Jesus came for? He didn't come to polish up the turd of my life. He didn't. And some of us think that's what religion is about. My life is a turd, and Jesus came just to polish the turd up. No, he came to get rid of that and give a whole new heart and mind and life. God can't polish up any turd to make it better. He has to transform it from death to life. And that's what he does. You're like, this pastor says turd a lot. Yes, I do. I've got your attention, don't I? Jesus didn't come to make your life better. He came to give you a new life in Christ. Do you have that life? The old is gone. The new has come. It is a decisive moment that we make. Have you made that decisive moment? But also, if you're a follower of Jesus, it is a daily reality too. That new life in Christ, his mercies are new every morning because of the resurrection. The old of yesterday is gone. The newness of his grace and mercy and the slate wiped clean for today, that is good news. I am not working to try to be better, to make the bad things I did yesterday, my sin and rebellion yesterday, I'm not trying to do better things to outweigh that. That is gone. That is behind me. His grace and mercy covers that, and I have a new life today. That is freedom in Christ. That is the new life in Christ. That is where life is found, in Christ. Not only do we have this new life, but he's given us purpose. He said, since we have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the reality of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. He says, you have this new life in Christ. Now, you have a new mindset. You have a new perspective. He says, set your heart and mind on these things. It is a present imperative. It is not an option for the Christian not to have a renewed mind and to set our hearts and minds on the heavenly things. Now, some of you might be like, well, I've heard the phrase, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash phrase. Because when we set our things on the minds of God and the minds of heaven and those things, we are most earthly good. Because we are in tune and tapped into the God of the universe who speaks wisdom through his scriptures and wisdom through his spirit to live this life now that he intended, that we were designed for in the Garden of Eden. Now he's redeemed and rescued us back to through his son, Jesus Christ. We have given this purpose of a new heart, a new mind, a new life that is hidden in Christ. And this life is to be lived not for ourselves. Jesus, when he walked this earth, what this purpose in life looked like, this new mind and new heart, he says, if you want to find life, you must lose your life. If you want to live for me, you must die. And so the way of life, this new mindset, is to look not to ourselves, but to look to others. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for us all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. See, the purpose of life is to give our life away. Jesus died to give us an example, but he also died for our sins. And he was raised to life to give us a new life in him. But that new life in Christ, you are not left alone. The same power that rose Christ from the dead resides in us to live this new life now. Do you understand that? The new life he's given you, he doesn't say, I did the thing, now just figure it out on your own. No, the same power that rose Christ from the dead resides in him. The same power, it's not a four-cylinder engine, it is a Hemi 12-valve powerful engine that rose Christ from the dead. That resides in you. The same power that rose from the dead is in you, transforming your heart and mind to live on his purpose and powerful way. You don't live separated, you live empowered. You don't live abandoned and helpless as an orphan, you live as a son or daughter of the King, empowered by the Spirit of God in you. That is the hope of glory. That is an incredible life. That is joy. beyond anything that you can wrap your brain around. That is why Paul says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to know him intimately, and I want to experience the power of Christ and the power that rose him from the dead. That is a powerful purpose in life. Do you wake up on your daily life and say, I want to know Christ and the same power that rose him from the dead? I want that in my life. I want to be continued to filled with the Holy Spirit, to live on purpose and meaning in the everyday stuff of life that he intended for me, the life of adventure, of being a disciple that makes a disciple on mission as an ambassador of Christ. That's the purpose. He has given you new life in this life with a powerful purpose and meaning. But it's just not now. He's given us this new life. He's given this life with power and purpose, but he's also given a new life in hope, with hope. A life that has hope. We see this all throughout the scriptures, a lot of Paul's writing. He says, you will physically die. You see, the life in this world is filled with tragedy and trauma, suffering and pain, difficulty and disappointment. And following Jesus doesn't get you out of those things. It takes you through those things. It is a ballast to suffering. It is a hope that doesn't disappoint when suffering and death surround us. The great hope is there will be no more suffering and no more tears because Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death, and there is no more sting of death. There is no fear of death. There is hope, and it's not this hope like we have at Christmas of like, I just hope I get the red wagon. Maybe Santa Claus will bring it. Maybe, maybe, maybe. No, this is a guaranteed hope. How is it a guaranteed hope? Because there's proof and evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, and that's our deposit of the great hope that we have. So many in this room, we are either going into suffering, coming out of suffering, or in the midst of it. In the midst of a tragedy, coming out of one, or going into one. What is your hope? What is your ballast in the midst of those things? Do you realize that Jesus says, I will not take you over it or around it? He says, I will take you through it. Amen. That is your hope in the moment, and that you have eternal hope that this life is not all there is. Do you have that hope? We have these minor pictures of hope. I'm a Cavs fan. LeBron James abandoned the Cleveland Cavaliers for a season. There was hopelessness. Then King James returned to Cleveland and gave a great hope and a championship. As a Browns fan, 0-16. We had no hope. We were in despondent and despair. And then a quarterback from Oklahoma maybe can be our savior. We all live in this story of despondency and despair, looking for someone to save us from the hardship we have, to find hope, to find meaning, to find purpose. And Jesus Christ is that. Is he that for you? Jesus Christ was raised to life powerfully to gift you a new life with a powerful purpose, to gift you. He doesn't force it upon you. He offers it to you this morning. Have you made that decision to follow Jesus Christ? Are you living the resurrected life, the newness with purpose and meaning? I don't want you to leave here this morning without the ability to make that choice. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we want you to continue to press in because the resurrection is not something you start with, but it's something that propels you for the rest of your life. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection tomorrow and forevermore. So no matter where you are at on your spiritual journey this morning, do you trust, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose powerfully from the dead? It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not a fairy tale. And if you're still wondering about that, we want to journey with you. And it's okay to be where you're at this morning if you're wondering if this story really is true. And if you believe that now, have you put your faith and trust in him? And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, are you living the Spirit-empowered life that comes from the resurrected life, the newness in Christ. Would you pray with me as the worship team comes forward? Lord, we confess that we try to do life on our own. We seek satisfaction in so many places. We seek purpose and meaning in so many places. And we wonder how to manage our time and our life on a regular basis. Would you teach us in this next season what it means for Christ, his death and resurrection, and the newness of life in him, what a life to the abundance looks like? Help us to continue to worship you as the risen Savior. Help us to journey with one another as human beings as we wonder and wrestle and praise you for who you are. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you're questioning what this relationship with God looks like, we wanted to offer you just something to read, something to ponder. In your program, there was an insert that shows the next series that we would love for you to invite you back with. And on the back of that is a question: how do I have a relationship with God? And if you're wondering about that, we want to encourage you to read about that. That God loves humanity, but humanity has rebelled. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, on a rescue mission. And that's the love story. And he offers you that choice. And if you want to make that choice today, we invite you to talk to somebody with a name tag or go back to Guest Connections or write it on a card and just slip it to somebody at Guest Connections. But we want you to know this Jesus. We want to encourage you to follow this Jesus and make that choice. Why don't we continue to worship the risen Savior now?